Isaiah in our Old Testament reading is writing to a people who are in trouble. They're in trouble partly because they are surrounded by enemies. The nation of Assyria was threatening them. They were coming to conquer them, burning their cities and making their land desolate. Israel had become left all alone, like a single building out in the midst of a field. But they were also troubled Christians because of their sins and their hypocrisy. They had turned away from God. They had turned towards the ways of sin. And they still thought that they were serving God, but they weren't listening to him at all. But probably the thing that caused the most trouble for them was that they didn't realize how much danger they were in. They thought that everything was fine. There was no need to change anything. Things could continue on just as they had always done because there was nothing that needed to be different. And so Isaiah comes to them, calling on them to turn away from their wicked ways and to live. And Christians, this is also the trouble with so many today, and including us in that as well, that far too often we just don't realize how much danger we may actually be in. We live in a time when sin is encouraged, when it's even celebrated, when people will say, there's no need to change anything that you're doing. There's no need to do anything different. You are who you are. Don't let anybody else tell you differently. And a lot of people believe that. And it leads us to shut our ears to what Isaiah is saying. Who is he that he should tell me what I should be doing? Who is he to say these things about me? But if we continue in this way, Christians, it will lead to our destruction. Because that is what always comes of sin. But it doesn't have to be this way. God calls to all, even those caught in the midst of hypocrisy. And he calls on them to consider what he has to say. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. And that is a beautiful word spoken to those who walk in the midst of danger. And it is a word which we need to hear today. Come, God says. And what a beautiful invitation that is. How clearly it shows us the heart of God. God calls to the sinners, those who have turned away from him, and he says to them, come. Come to me. No matter what you have done, no matter what sins you have committed, no matter how far away you have turned, come. Come to me today. It's just as Jesus says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And again in another place, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. There's no need to fear that we are too far gone. There is no need to wonder if God will actually hear us. The Creator himself comes to us and he calls on us. He invites us to come to him. So let us not hesitate to go to our Lord today. And he also says, let us reason together. You could translate that as let us dispute together. It's a legal term. It's like two people who are arguing with each other in court. Let us determine who is right and who is wrong. Come, God says, lay it all out before me. State your case. I will listen to you. I will hear what you have to say. And do we not see here the greatness and the fairness of God? God doesn't force us, Christians. We are not like blocks of wood, unfeeling and unreasoning. God doesn't force us to do these things. Rather, he humbles himself to come to us, and he calls on us to speak to him. Could there be anything more fair? God says to you, "You have the floor. Tell me why you have done what you have done. Explain your case, give your reasons, and I will consider it and listen to what you have to say." But as we do that, Christians, let us not forget the word "together." Let us reason together, says the Lord. God invites you to speak to him. God invites you to call on him, but he's also going to speak to you. And that's only fair, after all. Both sides need to speak in a dispute. And so he says, you can state your case, you can give your reasons, but then I'm also going to state my case to you. And he has all the right to do this. He is our creator. He is the one who's made us. We would not exist without him. And he has given us everything that we have and are. Does he not have the right to ask you to consider your ways, to consider the things that you have done? And God asks, have you really lived as you ought to live? Have you really done what is right? What does your conscience tell you? Are you perfect? Have you never done anything wrong? Have you always done what is good in the sight of God? Well, nobody's perfect, we might say. Everybody makes mistakes, which of course is true. But are we just using that as an excuse, as a way of trying to silence our conscience so we don't have to listen to what it has to say? And God also says, consider what I have called you to do. Are my laws unjust? Are my commandments a burden? Am I asking you to do too much? Consider what he says in verse 17. Seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless, plead the widow's cause. Are we going to say that these things are wrong? That God is asking us too much when he calls on us to do these things? Are we saying that it is evil to seek justice? Are we saying that it is evil to correct oppression? Is it wrong to want to give justice to the fatherless? Is it wrong to want to speak up for the widow? Is God asking us too much when he calls on us to love our neighbor as ourselves? Is God asking us too much when he says that we should forgive as we have been forgiven? If that's the case, Christians, we might as well say that it's evil to do good, that it's wrong to do what is right, which is just an insane thing to say. God has not asked too much of us. God is not being unreasonable. We are the ones who have turned away. We are the ones who have wandered off into what is unreasonable. The fault is not with God. We are the ones in the wrong. But what more shall we say? What more can we say? Are we really going to argue against that? Are we going to find fault with God despite everything that our conscience tells us? No, we really can't. All we can do is to be silent, because there is nothing more that can be said. The logic of what God has said to us is airtight. And unless we want to get rid of everything that is good, unless we want to overthrow everything just in this world, we must admit that we are sinners, that we have turned away from God. And admitting that we are sinners, Christians, is the first step on the road to repentance. And silence is the first step of repentance. Just like Job says, Behold, I am of small account. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand on my mouth. I have spoken once, and I will not answer. Twice, but I will proceed no further. We have to fall silent because we admit that God is right. There is nothing more to say. He is right. We are wrong. There's no protest, no arguments here. We are simply standing before God as we are, as sinners. Sinners who have turned away from everything that is good and right and true. But though we may be silent Christians, God is not. He still has one more thing to say to us. He says, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. Because God is a God of mercy. God is a God who forgives. Though we stand before him in all of our shame, though we stand before him with all of our sins, God comes to take those sins away. God comes to give life to the sinner, to make them clean in his sight, so that no matter how great the sin may be, no matter how far we have wandered away, though our sin be like a stain on our soul which will never come out, God calls to us to repent and to turn and to live. It's just as Ezekiel says, "Have I any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Lord God, and not rather that he should turn from his way and live?" And God's mercy is not a mercy which ignores sins, Christians. God does not say, though your sins be like scarlet, it doesn't matter. That's not what he says. But rather that they shall become white like snow. God's mercy transforms us. God's mercy changes us. It takes those sins away. Though we are stained like a stained cloth, we will be made white again without a trace of sin. God cleanses us and makes us righteous once more. And he does it, Christians, through Jesus Christ, his Son. God makes us clean through the death of Jesus. And God washes us with water, mixed together with the detergent of the blood of Christ. And there is no stain that can resist the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus. All of our sins have been laid on him, and he has paid the debt of them all. And those who call on him by faith will find new and everlasting life. They will be washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. So why then should we wait? Why should we hesitate? Come to Jesus today and call on his name, and you will find true life in him. So that you may be able to say in the words of the hymn, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come." Let us pray. Merciful Father, who has given us your Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, forgive us the things that we have done, and make us pure within, following after you in righteousness, both now and forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.